Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I identify as a transgender woman.
I identify as a straight transgender female.
There is no such thing as transgender. You're either XX or XY.
But honestly, I don't really identify as human.
I'm tired of being humanized for the comfort of other people.
God made man male and female. That is determined genetically. That is physiology. That is science. That is reality.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's go.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh. This is Wretched Radio. What you been thinking about? Would you mind sharing with the class? You can do that one of two ways. Send an email to idea@wretched.org or get them thumbs busy. Text 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, should my child be watching Star Wars and playing with Star Wars figures? For a long time, I felt like it was fine, but when I read that we are to love what God loves and hate what he hates, I couldn't help but think of sorcery and magic in Star Wars.
Wow! I am so glad the first question was about Christianity today, because Christianity...
It's about Star Wars.
What a nitpicker. I've been trying to sneak this in all week long, and I got to get it in here somewhere.
Sorry.
Rain on my little parade here. Star Wars, Christianity today, it's all the same. Well, not really. Christianity today appoints a new president and CEO. Looks like an individual with a whole lot of education, but there are hints that it will continue the leftward drift of Christianity today regarding the role of women in the church. The name of the new, well, I'll just read it to you. This is the press release from Christianity Today. We're thrilled to share that the Christianity Today Board of Directors has unanimously elected Dr. Nicole Massey-Martin as its next president. She has more than 25 years of nonprofit, academic, ministry leadership, and church engagement experience. It was an extensive 5-month search that included a global pool of 130 candidates. Wow, that's just a lot of people to choose from. So I thought, let's just see exactly what this individual's theological bent is. And it's always a good idea to go to their church. The press release continues. She graduated magna cum laude from Vanderbilt. That's impressive. She earned a Master of Divinity from Princeton. That's not. Does it get more liberal than Princeton Theological Seminary? No. A Doctor of Ministry degree from Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, where she was an adjunct professor of ministry and leadership development. She's also the founder and director of Soulfire International Ministries, SIM, if you will. Dr. Martin is a dynamic Bible teacher. Okay, that can be fun. She's an author. She's published books called Nailing It, Why Successful Leadership Demands Suffering and Surrender, and Made to Lead, subtitle, Empowering Women for Ministry, B-I-N-G-O, there you have it. Christianity Today has been on a terror and at trying to wedge egalitarianism into the Bible. They write articles. I mean, if you recall, a number of months ago, almost the entire edition was about women as pastors, women in leadership roles that would violate 1 Timothy 2 and 3 and Titus 1. That's like an agenda for them. I fear they picked a woman to help them with that agenda. So I asked the AI machine, what do we know? Did she ever serve in pastoral ministry? Here's what you got. According to her resume, she was the minister of evangelism at St. James AME Church in Newark. She, while at Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, she served as minister at the Park Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. She's referred to, even on her own website, as Reverend Dr. Nicole Massey Martin. So, summary and conclusion, according to AI, yes, she has served in pastoral ministry roles in local church settings. Her emphasis is leadership, nevertheless. So as you continue to perhaps, I don't know who does these days, read Christianity Today, don't be surprised if you don't see an even greater push toward egalitarianism, which is why Star Wars, depending on how it's used, what?
That's a perfect answer to that question.
Well, I wanted to share with the guy. I knew you weren't going to ask a Christianity Today question today. So Star Wars, I thought, was close enough.
Close enough.
Both fiction.
That's true.
Both fiction. The Star Wars, was it about the kids playing with the figures?
And watching it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's worldview in Star Wars. There definitely is that it's definitely not a biblical worldview, and it's a bleak worldview to boot. Virtually all of those movies, and I think Star Wars, it's not as obvious as I would say like Harry Potter. Nevertheless, it does have a dark worldview behind it. Now, Jimmy, I'm trying to recall with the Star Wars, there was something in particular. And it definitely had to do with God. It had to do with who knows all things. It's contra-biblical. Is it overt? No. I can't recall exactly what it is, but I don't think that it is anything that we would endorse theologically. The question, of course, is the way that it's presented, will it do damage to your kids? I think I'd leave that one in your court, Mom and Dad. If I had little kids, they wouldn't be watching it, but I wouldn't make a law where there is no. I just don't like dark things. And Star Wars is bleak. It's outer space. So it's just dark. It just seems to be heavy and a lot about death and destruction and power and mystery and that type of stuff. For my money, it just isn't healthy to consume. When we're looking through the whatever our cable system thing is, I guess Netflix, I think we get that for free with the, no, Amazon, whatever. When we look through the movies, all the murder mysteries, all the death stuff, and then all the violent stuff and the abuse stuff, it's like, isn't there anything else to make a movie about? And the answer apparently is no. So we just avoid all of that because we've tried. We'll look for one of those murder mystery series that has a rating where it's not going to be sexual content and swearing and blasphemy. And I just will watch an episode and I'm like, I just don't feel real good. It just feels, I don't know, like I need a shower. It's too dark and we just don't guzzle it. I think every parent needs to make that decision with Star Wars. If you're asking me what I would do personally, no. We wouldn't be doing the Star Wars, and we definitely wouldn't be doing the Harry Potter, and definitely not reading the Christianity Today. Please send stuff to 877-282-2337.
This is from Ethan. Todd, if a fellow brother was in desperate need for some help with stepping up and becoming the husband and father God wants him to be, but has no idea where to start and is overwhelmed by the idea, what advice would you give him?
Look no further than your local church. Your local church is the place that has men who have had babies. And I don't mean that in a 21st century kind of way. They've had babies with a woman is what I meant by that. And they know, and they can disciple and encourage and teach. And a lot of it can be done through watching. I'm telling you, when it comes to like how to discover how to be a happily married couple, watch it. Go to people's homes. If you're younger, find old people in your church and say, can we come and hang out with you some night? Or, you know, we'll pick up the Chick-fil-A. Can we come and just have a meal with you guys? I'm telling you, you will learn so much by watching it. So I think my primary encouragement, you can read books. We've got so much stuff coming up on manhood. 2026 is a year we're dedicating toward resources for men because of, well, everything. Those are good, and we want to use those. Here's what's better: one-on-one or two-on-two. Let somebody disciple you, show you, talk to you about these things. So find somebody whose kids still have a relationship with them. And quite honestly, even if the kids don't have a relationship with them, they were probably good parents anyway, because the kids will just ghost you at the drop of a hat these days, and learn from them. Ask questions. Teach me. What do you wish you had known when you first had children? What disciplines were lacking in your life that you wish that you had been exercising more when you first had children? What were the biggest difficulties? And on and on and on, you can go with the questions and let them teach you how to do that. And then I might suggest ask them to continue staying in your life once you do have kids. They'll help you. Let them help you. We've got drive-by marriage. That's helpful. We got drive-by parenting. All good stuff. And by the way, all free at FortisPlus.org. And as much as I love our own stuff, I got to tell you, in the context of your local church being discipled, that's the bomb diggity. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's crazy? You've got more computing power in your pocket right now than NASA used to send people to the moon. But most of us, well, we're using it to watch cat videos or argue with strangers online. But what if I told you there's a better way? The Fortis Plus app. I'm talking hundreds of hours of biblical content that'll actually make you smarter and more equipped for the battles you're facing every day. Not battles with other people, battles in your life. Dr. John Crotch breaks down theology you can actually use with Integrated. And Pastor Brad Digney, he's helping your marriage thrive instead of just survive. Dr. Adam Tyson speaks truth into the hearts of young men, all on your phone and all for free. So while the world's feeding you garbage, you can be feeding your soul with solid biblical truth. Look, you're going to scroll through something today anyway. Why not make it something that actually strengthens your faith? Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever it is you download your apps from. It's free, it's powerful, and it's exactly what you need in this upside down world. Fortis Plus at FortisPlus.org. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy. But they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at FortisPlus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at FortisPlus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at FortisPlus.org. Stop surviving and start living. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity, people who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry, you're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Important dates in Christian history. 1517. Martin Luther posts his 95 Theses, a simple invitation for scholarly debate that inadvertently becomes a hinge of history. Luther's challenge to the sale of indulgences sparked the Reformation and changed the face of the world.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Now I remember. After Googling it, this is Wretched Radio. Ask the AI machine, hey, what religion is baked into Star Wars? Here it is without getting into it. Buddhism. The Jedi path shares concepts with Buddhism such as mindfulness, concentration, rejection of attachment. There's worldview. It's cooked into it. It claims Christianity, not real Christianity. Zoroastrianism, the battle between good and evil in the cosmos. The concepts are found in Zoroastrianism. Taoism, the force, is compared to the Taoist concept of qi, or the vital force that connects all things. The force as a syncretic faith. The force itself is a syncretic concept. So they must have mingled blending elements from many different spiritual traditions. So Star Wars, it definitely has worldview cooked into it that is not Christian, that is shown. So I think it's up to different parents to make a decision based on the maturity of your children, where they're at, how vulnerable they are, and how overt you think these messages are. And there would be some parents who would say, I'll explain it to them. I'm going to see Zoroastrianism and I'm going to explain the battle of the cosmos is not about good and evil. There really is no battle because the victory is won. God is sovereignly in control. This isn't, let's cross our fingers and hope God comes out on top on this one. Nope, that's not Christianity. That's not reality. So you could use it to teach if you would like to. But I think some parents are going to just lean in the opposite direction. Jimmy, you going to let the kids watch the Star Wars business?
No. It's not. I think there's a deeper issue of more than what's baked into it. It's what is it teaching your children to love and admire and look at as heroic?
Duh. Luke Skywalker.
I know, that's the problem. That's the issue.
He's the hero, right?
I think so.
Okay, but what about Harrison Ford? I thought he was the hero. He was the rebel. See, it's a preference issue, but I remember seeing Star Wars, the original, when it first came out. It was the first time that I was actually exposed to that there's buzz, that there's like, oh, you got to see this movie, because where I came from, my family, it's like, we didn't have those types of luxuries. But for some reason, I think we had a neighbor and it was, oh, Star Wars is a big thing. It's such a huge thing. Went to Star Wars and I remember going, meh. It just wasn't my particular cup of tea. That's all. So mom and dad, Jimmy, would you make it a law?
I don't think I would make it a law.
I wouldn't either. No. Yeah, I'd like to, but I'm not going to. Please send your thoughts on Star Wars or anything else to 877-282-2337.
Here's something you might make a law on. This is from Anonymous. Todd, what are your thoughts on Christian rap?
Speaking of not my cup of tea, that doesn't mean that you can't consume a cup if you would like. But I would ask you to be discerning, like we should be with everything, really. While it doesn't happen to be my particular style of music that I tend to enjoy, that's a preferential issue. I think that there's some Christian rap that is really quite excellent and quite good. I last time I checked, the gang at Humble Beast was good. Shy Lin, I don't know how much he's doing anymore. He did that rather lengthy video and rap song on 1984, didn't he? No, on Animal Farm. So I don't know how much he's cranking out, but it's rich and it's deep and it has theology and you learn from it and it maybe helps you to memorize things. So I say thumbs up to that. I do think that there's some rap music that, just like in contemporary worship, probably not going to be so great. I would simply encourage you to not waste your time. And one last thing, there's more to music than lyrics. And there's even an element of the music itself and the singing itself that I do believe needs to be examined. And that is, what is the tone of this? What am I putting into my soul? if it's Christian rap that's kind of like dark and angry sounding, like so much rap that I happen to drive by and hear from people's cars, even though my windows are rolled up, I don't think that's healthy for us. I don't think that's good for us. I know that you can't say, well, I've never felt anything. Well, maybe you didn't, weren't aware of it, but I just think you put dark in, angry in, kind of almost violent sounding in. I don't think that it's neutral any more than I think that these video games where we're shooting everybody up, I don't think that's neutral just because it's pixels. I think that somehow it affects our souls, our inner man. So I'm not a fan of the rap genre. I know that there is good Christian rap. Consume it. Consume it. Just look out for the stuff that doesn't encourage, doesn't build you up, but maybe makes you dark inside. I'd stay away from that. Jimmy, you're a rap connoisseur. No, no, you're not.
No.
877-282-2337.
This is from Anonymous, a text. Todd, my workplace just openly celebrated a man who transitioned to become a woman.
Is North it, Point?
He said my workplace.
Called it work. Well, you know, for a lot of people there. That aren't Christians, they do work there.
That's true.
I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? Are we on? It's true.
So they're wanting to know if it's time to find a new workplace.
Oh, if they're not imposing it and forcing you to use words and pronouns that you believe would be a lie, you can stay. Now, if it becomes untenable for you, if you believe you're sinning, you should go because that's a conscience issue. But the reality is we work with sinners of all stripes, not just the LGBTQ. We're working with sinners all the time, and Jesus doesn't pull us out of the world. If the world is having more of an influence on us, we got to get away from that element of it. If that corner is so dark that it is keeping you from growing, then you need to escape from it. That's acceptable if the world is infecting or affecting you more than you're affecting it. But that aside, you've got to stay in the world. You got to stay in the workplace. We got to go to public stores. We've got to go drive on public places. We are in the world to be salt and light. He has left us here on a mission. And we don't want to fall into the trap of the Roman Catholic Church of saying the ideal is to go live in a monastery or a cloister. It is not. We are people who live in the world. We're just not people of the world. Now, there are some people who just find sometimes in a workplace that it's just too heavy for them. I get that. I do. I and then for the sake of your own health and well-being and growth, sure, you can move on. But I would encourage as a general rule that we see our workplaces as ministry opportunities. You are there as a royal priest. You're not an employee. You're a royal priest. You take that title with you wherever you go, including the workplace. So be in your workplace knowing that you're salt, you're light, and you are a royal priest. That should help. Send stuff, if you'd be so kind, to idea@wretched.org or text 877-282-2337.
This is from Rick. He wrote in and said, Todd, I'm 58. I really want to attend seminary. Recently, I retired from my job, but I really want to enter ministry. I'm wondering, does this seem like an odd thing to do?
Odd? Well, I don't think that going to seminary is ever odd per se. The question is it a wise decision? And I think, believe it or not, the answer can be found in determining if you should be a pastor. Now, I'm assuming your desire to go to seminary is to be in pastoral ministry. Now, if you just want to go to SEM because you're retired and you want to get a deeper theological education, I say rock on. You should keep serving in the context of your local church, even as you do that. But, you know, go ahead, anybody, go ahead and do that. Go ahead and study if you want to. But if you're talking about going into pastoral ministry, you got to know that you know you want to go into pastoral ministry. In other words, you need to have an internal call, a burning desire, an all-consuming fire that says, I got to do this. Well, how do you know if it's not whim or fancy? The answer is found then in the external call. Individuals in the context of your local church who can work through it with you to say things like, you know, we affirm that. We see your gifts. we've been thinking, we've always thought you'd be an excellent pastor. Boom! Then you got yourself the external confirmation that I think is required before you pursue pastoral ministry. And I think as a part of that external confirmation, you can also talk to them about the actual, the details and the wisdom of it. Because life is complex. Whether you're 58 or 28, it doesn't make any difference. Working with the pastors, the elders in your local church, just to talk about the wisdom of it, the complexities of it, the challenges to it, what it's actually going to look like, how it's going to play out, what the timing of it is. As a part of that examination of the external call, I do believe that is a component of it. And they might just say to you, bro, this is what we see. We think your gifting is actually over here. We think that because of what your wife is doing in the current stage that she's in, we think because of the grandchildren. In other words, they're going to speak into your situation and they're going to help you to make that wise decision. And if they affirm that, then I say, rock on, dude. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institutes. A Washington state judge is wrestling with what should be a fairly simple question, and that is a man's chest a man's chest? Male city councilor in Stevenson, who identifies as a woman, faces indecent exposure charges after appearing topless at a 4th of July protest outside of the county courthouse. When deputies asked him to cover up, he refused and was arrested. Now his attorney argues that the topless display shouldn't count as indecent exposure because men can walk around shirtless. The judge calls the case complicated, which it isn't, but he says he'll rule at a later date. The gender ideology circus continues in Los Angeles, where a teacher used Trans Visibility Week to tell California kids they could be born in the wrong body. The teacher, whose social media consists primarily of him dancing around in dresses, also posts videos of taking his son to get his nails painted pink and features his transgender partner prominently online. Meanwhile, a lesbian former Air Force intelligence officer has pled guilty to fabricating what she claimed was the first crime in space. Summer Worden accused her ex-wife, NASA astronaut Anna McClain, of illegally accessing her bank account from the International Space Station during their custody battle. The false claims sparked investigations by the Federal Trade Commission and NASA's Inspector General before Worden admitted that she made the whole thing up. The Trump administration rolled out its plan to dismantle the Department of Education. Education Secretary Linda McMahon says they're breaking up the federal education bureaucracy and returning education to the states, a campaign promise Trump is now delivering on. Of course, the National Education Association called the move cruel and shameful, which is exactly how you know it's the right decision. A 7-Eleven cashier in Oklahoma learned that company policy values optics over employee safety when she was fired for shooting a man who grabbed her by the throat and then threatened to slice her head off. The employee had worked alone from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. for 2 years when the attacker came behind the counter. She says 7-Eleven even told her she should have just used store items for self-defense. Fend off your would-be strangler with a 32-ounce Slurpee. That'll get them every time. American lawmakers are warning that Brazil may fast-track legislation targeting U.S. tech companies following Europe's failed Digital Markets Act playbook. Representative Scott Fitzgerald expressed shock that Brazil would pursue such a bill while in the middle of a trade negotiations with the U.S. President Trump already forced Europe to address unjustified digital trade barriers in their framework agreement, and experts say any attack on American innovators marks a red line for this administration. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. Philippians was written by Paul from a Roman prison. It is often called the Epistle of Joy for its encouraging tone. In this letter, Paul encourages the Philippians to live in a manner worthy of the gospel by steadfastness and humility in Christ and cheerful obedience to God, who is working in us to bring about his good pleasure.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Okay, so maybe not all things wretched. This is Wretched Radio. Usually I encourage you, hey, if you think it's wretched, Send it to idea@wretched.org. I'm looking at a headline of an article that was sent in. Having babies with your AI wife or girlfriend. Okay. All right. That, no, you can't have a baby with a computer. Okay. You can't procreate with a machine. So other than that type of story, please send all things honestly. We're just so busted, man. Our brains are so... Did you ever think that you would see... You've read Romans 1, and you've read Isaiah 5, that woe to those who say up is down is up, black is white. You know, everything is just inverted and confused and complicated. But we're seeing it. And we knew about it, but we're experiencing it now with people whose thinking, their paradigm is so broken when it comes to filtering reality that we think we can have a baby with a computer and somehow justify it. There was another article. I think it was an opinion piece. I think Peter Heck wrote it for Not the Bee. There was a Congress, I think it was a congressman, a United States congressman, 71 years old on an airplane. He was on his cell phone, apparently with his mouth agape, looking at dirty pictures. And initially, everybody was like, oh, that's awful. But then liberals, of course, went, wait a second, we can't judge anything because then we'd have to be judged ourselves. So they start debating it. Well, did he look at it on purpose? And was it violent? Were the pictures violent? Coming up with all kinds of ways to justify an old man sitting on an airplane looking at dirty pictures. How do our brains try to come up with any sort of an excuse to justify that sort of behavior? And the answer is, it's the world we're living in. Everything is just up is down and down is up. And we are seeing it in Technicolor. And I never thought it would be this bizarre. Having a baby with your AI bot wife or whatever it is, honestly. idea@wretched.org, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, our former pastor recently on Easter Sunday tore up a Bible during the services to make the point that if you're
No. Don't know that I need to hear the point. I can't think of anything that would justify that. Why would you do that? Hey, I don't think that we should be superstitious. I don't think that we need to handle the Bible quite the way the Jewish people did in rabbinical days in the Old Testament. I'm telling you, they handled that book with kid gloves because they thought that was the word of God. I mean, if it's printed there, they esteemed it so highly. They, you know, carry it with white gloves. They wanted to make sure they did nothing to besmirch the word of God. All right, I'm not sure that degree is necessary, but I can't think of a valid reason to tear it up to make a point about something. It's God's word. Can't you make the point another way? Besides, Jimmy, not even technically, that would be prop preaching, that you had to use some sort of a device to make your point. That is not what powerful preaching is. You use words to make that point. And if you're not capable of persuading people, whatever the point is that he was trying to make, then maybe make a different point. Don't make that point or reconsider your career because that's the job of the pastor. And if it requires props, if it requires movie clips, I'm sorry. That should give you pause as to whether or not you're in the right profession. Jimmy, what was the point that he was trying to make?
Well, he just wanted to know if him tearing the Bible up, is that worthy of a public rebuke?
Nah, I would talk to the guy privately.
I mean,
yeah, talk to him privately.
Yeah, I have a hard time with this one. I think like you did too. I just, your job as a pastor is to teach.
I'm not having a hard time with this at all.
I mean, you know what I mean?
It's kind of agitating.
Yeah, okay,
because fair enough.
Your job is to teach people to love their Bibles, and you can't do that when you're acting like it's worthless.
Right.
If your congregation is not engaging with the Bible and you're trying to teach them not to neglect it, then you need to open it up, not tear it up.
Okay. I'm trying to think. This might not be the best demonstration, but I'm going to preach, Jimmy, on how bad divorce is. Okay? Ready? Here I go. All right. So this is my wedding ring. And when you get divorced, it's like doing this. And I spit on my wedding ring and I throw it across the room. That's what divorce is like. You'd go, wait, dude, that's your wedding ring. Yeah. It symbolizes something profound. Bingo with the Bible. It is something profound. And to treat it lowly to make a point, I'm sorry, that is a pragmatism that I just wouldn't ever buy into. And as far as a public rebuke, talk to the fellow privately. That's always the place to start. Always the place to start. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Gary. Todd, a woman recently came to our church seeking a good Bible teaching church. And when the pastor inquired about her husband, he discovered that her husband attends another church. The pastor then advised her not to attend here alone, but with her husband, even though his church is not heretical, but is weak in its preaching. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts?
I don't want to do it as quickly as I want to do it because it'd make it sound maybe insensitive or sexist. I think I would agree with your pastor. They you should be together. And he is the assigned spiritual leader. And even if he's not leading to the best water, as long as he's not forcing her to drink heretical water, then I think she can go. Now, does that mean she gives up? No. Does that mean she stops trying to teach him and to show him a better way? Doesn't mean that at all. But I think that a husband and wife should be together. I've seen this before where couples, they go to different churches because of a disagreement on something. And this is, I think, one of those situations that shows the wisdom of God. There are times that require a tiebreaker. And God has settled that for us. The coin has been tossed and it lands on the side of the husband is the spiritual leader. And even though he's not doing it as well as he should, as long as he's not tearing her down and introducing her to awful doctrine, then I think that she can follow that and go with him to that. But then keep encouraging to consider this, show him that, have him listen to, consider reading this. Until he grows where he desires that same higher level of Bible teaching. I know, it's not your favorite. But know this, even if you are the woman in this situation, and as hard as it is because you know that there's a greener pasture over there, it's like, don't forget God is in this. And don't forget God will grow you in it and will use you to grow him. So be encouraged, even if you have to, in a situation like this, here comes the S word, submit. Know that God is in it. Do you agree, Jimmy?
Yeah, I completely agree. They definitely need to be together.
Yeah.
And I understand the desire. I look at it the same way that, you know, you've answered questions before when people asked, you know, I don't have a good church close, I have a decent church. It's not heretical, but...
Yeah, you got to go. You got to go. Yeah, the church, regarding that particular dynamic, I get it. I feel it. We all want perfect church. There's only one of those. It's Alpharetta Bible Church. Otherwise, you're just not going to find it. I understand. But you can be content someplace and you can know that the Lord will use you. Don't go in there as the individual flamethrower who's going to burn everything up that you think is bad or not as good. And that's not your job either. But you can be there as an encouragement and help grow people.
You can help other people grow. And if you're already more advanced, then you know how to supplement.
That's right. Yeah, you can do that too. And this might be helpful if you happen to be in that particular dynamic. I'm actually going to be, I started, was working on this again last night. A sermon for December 30th that I think is helpful for our church body. And I think it's helpful for any believer with one particular word that I think changes the way that you actually view church and go to church. And that word is expectancy. God knows you're going to that church. He knows it. We know that his word doesn't return void. We know that if it's a church that's not heretical, the guy is at least trying to preach to his congregation, even if it's not as perhaps exegetical as you'd like it to be. But even so, or expository, I guess would be a better word. Even so, Lord, what do you have for me today? Even if it's a crumb, devour it, because the Lord has prepared it for you. You will get something out of church, even if it's the church is like, yeah, it's not so great. And I'm not talking about a bad church. I'm not talking about a silly center. I'm talking about a church where they're actually preaching the word. Know the Lord has something for you, and it's your job to go that day to find it. So go, not as a critic, but go with expectancy, and I'm telling you, it'll change the way you view church. This is Wretched Radio.
Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first, because your couch just got promoted.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Look, I'm going to be straight with you. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes, and there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. Here's what no one wants to admit. You can't win this fight with willpower. Trust me, if determination alone could break the chains of lust and sin, you would already be free. You've probably figured that out by now. The filters, the accountability apps, the promises to your wife or to yourself, they're just band-aids on a wound that needs surgery. Real freedom, the kind that actually lasts, it only comes when Christ changes you from the inside out. Not just your habits, but your actual heart. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Son of Man. Daniel chapter 7 describes the Son of Man who came from heaven, received worship from all nations, and rules a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Jesus uses this title to affirm that he is fully human and fully divine.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now, an affirming word from handsome Jimmy Hicks. You ready?
I'm ready.
This is Wretched Radio. You wanted to put a little coda onto the conversation about the woman whose husband doesn't want to go to the same type of Bible preaching church she does. It's a better church, and he wants to keep going to that other church. Should she follow? Should they go to separate churches? Jimmy, you said what, rather? I think helpfully and encouragingly.
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't want to play the comparison game and look at other people, but
there are a lot of women out there that would love for their husbands just to walk through the door.
That's
of the
true.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny with perspective? Yeah. You know, when you see it from the opposite side, if you were married to somebody and you couldn't get them to go to church at all, you'd be thrilled that they're willing to go to that church now. That is so true. Man, if I could learn how to do that, I think I'd be a happier human. If I could just always, you said you don't want to do the comparison game. I don't know why not. I think it can be really helpful. If you put yourself in a different dynamic, you rather than being like, oh, that's a bummer, I gotta go, it could be more like, hey, at least we're going together. So I think that was an affirming word from handsome Jimmy Hicks. 877-282-2337.
And this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, what is the biblical definition of fellowship?
That's a great question. Fellowship can only rightly, biblical fellowship has got to be defined in the context, I think, of Acts 2, 42 and 43, where it talks about fellowship. What was the early church doing that qualified it as genuine fellowship? Well, they weren't talking about the latest football game. Forget the fact that they didn't have football at the time. That's not my point. They weren't talking about the news, the weather, and the sports. They were talking about what? What made it fellowship? They were coming together for the apostles' teaching, for prayer. They were watching people get baptized. They were taking the Lord's table together. And so I think the principle from that, fellowship is a time together with other believers where Jesus Christ is in the center of it. That is what it requires for it to be fellowship. Look, it's nice to get together with a bunch of believers and hang out. It is. And it can be encouraging because nobody drops the F-bomb. There's no filthy references or double entendres. Oh, that was good. That's cool. That's cool. But fellowship that will grow you must be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. So there's got to be something there. Now, for whatever this is worth, and it might not be worth much, we're taking a look at our midweek study. And I think we've crossed the bridge and made the decision that what we do for what we'll call midweek, what is traditionally like Bible study or adult stuff, whatever it is, we're going to do this one a little differently. We're going to do this differently. And I think that it helps to paint a picture of what fellowship is. This is the concept. Feel free to send me an email or to text and say, that's a really stupid idea, Friel. Or go, huh, that's kind of interesting. The idea is that we come together and we hang out, we chat, we do that. But here are the different elements in the course of an hour and a half that we would spend together. We're on Thursday nights as opposed to Wednesday nights, but this is how we'll spend our 60 to 90 minutes together. We're going to have prayer requests, so we'll pray for one another. That'll be there. Now, it's not going to be formal, like it needs to come at this time. It's just going to be something that we do. We happen to have a piano in our fellowship hall, so if we feel like singing some hymns, we'll do that. But then we'll make sure that we actually are going to watch a teaching. I think we're going to use either Wretched Worldview or Road Trip to Truth, and we're going to watch it together. And then when it's done, whoever the facilitator, the leader, the teacher is going to help us apply that, because the idea for our Thursday night meeting is how to apply the Bible. It's not that we're not going to teach the Bible, but showing how we engage the world biblically on all of these wacky issues that we're confronted by these days. And we might even do things like role-playing. All right, you act like this person. I'm going to be the Christian trying to talk to you about it. And let's see how this, what we can glean from it that might be helpful so that we can all leave here better equipped to respond and interact with a confused world. And in the course of that, it's not going to be highly structured. But the entire time, what are we talking about? We're talking about the Lord's business. We're talking about biblical things. And even though the kids, maybe they might run around a little bit, we might even have beverages and snacks during that. If we're doing nothing else, you know what we're doing? We're fellowshipping. We're fellowshipping. It's not just getting together to have popcorn. There's going to be popcorn there, I suspect, but that's not the premise of the meeting. It's to talk about things of the Lord. That's fellowship. That's fellowship. Now, you take out the component of watching a teaching, listening to a teaching, and you're just hanging out and talking and playing and having fun. I say that's perfectly nice and good, but that just isn't fellowship. If you like that idea, by the way, all of the episodes of Wretched Worldview, I think there's about 30, all the episodes of Road Trip to Truth, 52 of them, all the episode of Transform, 52 of them. You want to do hermeneutics there, that's all there free, and it even has study guides. We're just going to do it midweek in a little bit more of an informal context, kind of creating our own thing. And the one of the reasons for it, this may be helpful for you if you're involved in planning the gatherings of your church. Eric brought this to my attention. Eric asked me an interesting question about Sunday morning Bible study. He said, "What's the point?" Which I thought it was pretty obvious, but he was after something else. Like, what's the goal of this one? Because what we would do on Sunday morning is we'd typically sing maybe a hymn or two, we do prayer requests, and then Bible study, and then that's it. He wasn't asking, obviously those elements are all great, but he was asking, like, what's the point of all of this? Because that's what you're doing in Sunday service. Maybe Sunday morning could have a different goal. And so we talked about having table leaders that you sit at the same table every week. And rather than doing group praying together, your table prays together so that you get to know one another even more. And then the table leader checks in with everybody throughout the weeks to make sure that they're doing okay. If they have any needs, how's that issue going that you were talking about? So that we're fostering more of a community. Now, that gives it a direction and a purpose. And so we thought, okay, interesting. What about Thursday nights for us? And we concluded, let's do fellowship. Fellowship. That's really what it is. Now that I'm having to blather this out, that's what our Thursday night is. It's a fellowship hour. And you maybe hear that and you go, so it's fun and games. No, not at all. Because it's centered, it's based on teaching about Jesus. That's what qualifies it as fellowship, so that we learn how to engage with the world. So there's the purpose of our midweek, fellowship, so that we can engage with the world. You do with that as you see fit. Send stuff to idea@wretched.org. Jimmy, do you like that idea, by the way?
Yeah, I do. I really like that.
Do you?
I do.
I kind of had to wrestle with it, I'll be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah. It could be just...
used to more structure.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah. And which book of the Bible are we doing?
Right.
So this was a bit of a challenge for me. But I love the idea. Look, I've always been a fan, too, of showing Road Trip and showing Worldview, because it's just Bible teaching. That's all it is. It's just Bible teaching. But, you know, it's the looser elements surrounding it. It's like, okay, but I see that it fosters fellowship. 877-282-2337.
Recently, you talked about meditating on a passage to get the most out of it. I'm wondering, is it possible to think too much about a passage and misunderstand the meaning or point behind it?
Well, I don't think the two are synonymous. Can you ever think about a passage too much? No. Should you be thinking about it so much that you're just kind of creating stuff out of nowhere? No, you shouldn't do that either. But if you're practicing good biblical exegesis, you can. How long can you chew on John 3:16? How long can you chew on that? Now, a long time. Let me say that. Now, if you've exhausted it, move on. It's not some sort of a badge of spirituality that we've earned by, I've only thought about this one verse now for the last 6 months. That's not the point of it either. But I would say that the problem for most of us is not spending too much time with a verse, and it's not spending enough time at all with a verse. There is so much there. Every pastor who might be listening to this program is going, amen, amen. Because that's what a pastor's doing all week. Have you ever pondered that? You hear about a pastor and it's like, how many hours do you spend on that sermon? 18 hours on one passage. He's thinking about it. He's really ruminating on every aspect of that Bible verse. All right, so there we have our rule. There, Jimmy, mm-hmm. We just got this up. How long should you think about a Bible verse? 18 hours. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.